Chapter 29. Cat, Dog, Hippogriff. Harry couldn't go looking for Sirius Black, but he hadn't promised anything about Sirius Black coming to him. That was, if not his reason, perhaps his excuse for taking a walk near the castle's foot, enjoying the crisp snow on the ground, and ignoring the voices in his head that sounded like Hermione and Ron and the professors. Those voices were better than remembering his mother's voice, begging. Almost anything was. A shadow on the dark snow made him jump. Something coming out of the shadows of the forest, moving low and dark and fast over the snow. And the sound of... barking? Yes, a dog barking. Harry smiled in amusement as he watched a dark, shaggy dog sprinting flat out, as if hell was on its tail. Eyes that were used to catching glints of gold across a whole Quidditch pitch finally brought what he was seeing into focus. A shaggy black dog was chasing a tiny white shape. A cat? No, a kitten. A tiny white kitten. Its his ears were flat back and his eyes were wild, and his white fur was puffed up so Harry couldn't see where a cat ended and snow began. Desperately trying to remember a spell for dealing with animals, and reassuring himself that at least werewolves looked nothing like dogs, Harry bolted on an intercept course, even if it probably was Malfoy. The kitten saw Harry and changed trajectory, scrambling up Harry's robes with an ear-splitting yowl, and spitting at the dog from Harry's shoulder. The dog looked into Harry's face, pinned his ears back, and whined piteously. Harry resisted the urge to rub his forehead to push aside the impending headache. "Easy, boy," he said to the dog. "You don't want to eat him. He'd taste awful." The cat swatted at his ear. "With claws. I mean, he's very elegant. Noble animals, cats." The dog snorted doubtfully, flopping down in the snow in apparent despair, and covering his nose with his paws. Harry squatted down gingerly and held out a hand. "I'm sorry, boy. I'm sorry I thought you were grim, too." This did not appear to make the dog feel any better. "You look terrible." Again, no improvement. Harry wasn't sure what he was expecting. Draco appeared content to sit on his shoulder and pretend to be an actual cat. Unless it was an actual cat and Harry was going mad. He'd end up freezing to death if he tried to figure this out here, and then Sirius Black wouldn't even have to murder him. "Come on, you two," Harry said, with a lightning-fast lunge to grab the dog's ruff. "I know a way to the Hogwarts kitchens, and you're both too thin." The cat hissed at him softly, but didn't scratch him again, which Harry took as the only win he could get. "If you bite me, I'm not talking them into giving you any ham pie," Harry informed the dog, on the theory that wizarding animals were often quite weird. It seemed to work, at least enough for the dog to scarf a whole pie and fall asleep by the fire. The cat had a bowl of milk and then planted himself firmly in Harry's lap, pinning Harry there. "You're gonna make me late to Quidditch practice," Harry informed the kitten, which had dried out into an absolute little fluffball. He was certainly going to be an elegant cat eventually, but right now, all his legs were too long, and he looked like nothing so much as a fur collar. The cat flicked a white ear in apparent complete acceptance of Harry being late to Quidditch practice, as the house elves bustled around them, delighted to have people to serve. "You know," Harry said, very aware that Draco had claws now, "you remind me of one of my classmates. His name's Draco. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't. He'd be fine with me being late to Quidditch practice, too." The tip of the kitten's tail twitched. Harry resisted the urge to think it was cute. It was a good shape for Draco, he thought. Small, cute, and absolutely evil. "But Draco knows I have really good blackmail on him," Harry continued quietly, so as not to wake the dog. So he wouldn't try to make a fuss about it, especially since I saved him from being eaten by a dog 10 times bigger than he is. With incredible dignity, the cat got up and jumped down to land squarely on the dog, which startled awake with a savage growl. "You are so terrible with animals," Harry hissed at Draco, tired and furious. The cat refused to look at him, but one ear flicked. So he wasn't being ignored, was he? Draco was a lot easier to like as a cat, Harry thought ruefully. Evil little beast. "Next time, I'm letting him eat you," Harry said severely. And with that, he went to Quidditch practice. Served Draco right. Harry's second attempt at luring Sirius Black into trying to murder him, sneaking out to Hogsmeade weekend, led to nothing except a lot more detail about the murderer who betrayed his parents. On the one hand, it was nice to be able to share it with Hermione and Ron, but on the other, he really didn't want to talk about it. He didn't know what he wanted to do about Sirius Black, and extra time to decide hadn't brought him anything but more nightmares. And Hermione and Ron meant well, but neither of them felt it the same way. Even if he never talked to Professor Snape about it again, he wouldn't forget the feverish light in his eyes as he explained about Sirius Black. Going to visit Hagrid wasn't an attempt to lure Sirius Black out of hiding, but it did give Harry an idea how he wanted to use his blackmail with Draco. Draco had other ideas. "It isn't as if you have any proof, Potter," he said, sticking his nose in the air. "Professor McGonagall said at the beginning of term that there's a registry and a magi have to be on," Harry said helpfully. "A public one, too. I bet it'd be pretty easy for me to get a copy. The ministry likes me this year." "It is your fault, you know," Draco said, after a sullen silence. "You and your talk about me being a dragon animagus." Since Harry wanted Draco's help, he kept a straight face. "Look, all you have to do is say Buckbeak's not that bad. It was a mistake. You were mucking about." "Oh, yes. And how would that look to the panel?" "It'd be fine. My uncle lets my cousin Dudley get away with way worse than insulting a hippogriff. I'm sure your father would understand." "You did not just compare my father to your horrible muggle uncle." "That's not what I meant, and you know it." "His uncle Vernon didn't try to murder children, for one thing." Harry tried to make his face look diplomatic. "My father," Draco plowed on, "loves me. Everything he does is to better our family and preserve our greatness. What does your uncle do for you? I know he doesn't want you. Any idiot could see that." Draco perked up and asked with cheerful curiosity, "Does he hit you?" Harry stared at him. "He does, doesn't he? You really should give over about muggles. They're really awful. I've only met a few, of course, but my father's told me all about them, and I've read the histories." "Not every muggle is like my uncle," Harry said, fighting the urge to rush to Uncle Vernon's defense. "He's never managed to hit me because I dodge," was not a ringing endorsement of muggle kind, really. "Well, it's the ones that are like your uncle that I want to keep an eye on." "You mean murder?" "That's a compromise, isn't it? Just dealing with the bad ones." Harry kept his eyes on Draco as he fumbled in his bag. He pulled out his headache potion and downed a whole jar of it. It didn't really help. Draco Malfoy, being the person to notice there was something really wrong with the Dursleys, was going to stick in Harry's mind for a long time. Which, actually... Draco watched him curiously, giving the impression of a cat at rest at a mouse hole. "It's not as if you even like fighting," Harry said, because he was trying to visualize Draco Malfoy murdering people, and not think about the Dursleys. Did you just call me a coward, Potter? Diplomacy, blast it. That's not what I meant, and you know it. Just, wouldn't you rather arrange for two of your enemies to stab each other in an alley somewhere while you were having a nice cup of tea across town? I suppose it would cut down on bloodstains, Draco said more cheerfully. They're hell to get out of robes, Harry agreed, relieved. The trick to having a civil conversation with Draco Malfoy, he thought, was to assume Draco had only a passing relationship with the reality everyone else lived in. The reality Draco lived in meant people relaxed while talking about blood and were offended if someone suggested they weren't a natural-born murderer. Why he wanted to have a civil conversation with Draco was still a good question, but Harry thought it had something to do with the way Draco was continually, endlessly unimpressed by him. It was a nice change from Colin and even Ron, who tended to accept Harry's place as the boy who lived, as Harry's do. At least, it was a nice change in small doses. Harry wouldn't actually want to talk to Malfoy for more than a couple minutes every few months. He might accidentally suggest Draco wouldn't murder a toddler with his own two hands or something horrible like that. I'll think about my testimony at the Beast's trial, Draco said. Don't get your hopes up. Harry nodded and escaped the conversation before Draco could realize that more than anything in the world, Harry didn't want Draco thinking too long about Harry's muggle relatives.